For those of you who do not know me, my name is Hugh. I'm a member of the 1030 congregation. I'm married to Marion, who you may know, in the wheelchair down here. We have four daughters and a couple of grandkids, I think 12 at last counting. I'm conscious of the fact that half of you, or maybe three quarters, may in fact be a little older than I and have more experience at family. So I will try not to tell you how to suck eggs. But I did want to talk a little bit about grandchildren and the privilege of having them. The verse from Proverbs says, "Grandchildren are the crown of the age." Grandchildren are a great joy and a blessing to their grandparents. We have one or two who I would question that, but generally they're a blessing. After 35 years of work, slipping into retirement felt pretty good. Now is the time to set the alarm a little later in the morning, or maybe not at all. Now is the time for doing those little things around the house, or maybe more regular riding on Ruby, who sadly I don't have anymore, but Dave Fuller enjoys it these days. Now is the time to just rest. But was it? "Hey Dad, I hear. When I go back to work, could you and Mum mind Rose for 2 days a week?" Our eldest daughter asked us. "Sure, it would be our pleasure." Soon that alarm clock was going off at 6:30, and we had an 18-month-old child running around the retirement home. Crash. Guess we better put that lovely glass vases away, or so they're out of reach of those little hands. We quickly found, though, that routine and ritual was our friend, so that meal times, play times, and shopping trips and nap times all had a familiar regularity that provided a little time out opportunities for grey headed grandparents. The bond between Rose, Minima, and Grandpa grew strong, enriching our lives and causing us to reflect on that verse in Proverbs 17. Before we knew it, a year had passed and our daughter was home on maternity leave. And we were once again retired. A return to staying up late and sleeping in till 8, interrupted only by the weekly Tuesday family dinners where our four daughters, their husbands, and an ever-increasing multitude of kids chatted, played, broke bread, and the occasional plate. Soon, our number three daughter said, "Hey Dad, when I go back to work, can you and Mum mind Evie for 2 days a week?" Oh, three. That's even more. Emboldened by our first successful foray into regular child binding, "Of course, darling, it would be our pleasure." What could possibly go wrong? So that alarm clock was set at 6:30 again, and another little granddaughter ran around the retirement house. But we had not anticipated that difference between having a walking, talking 18-month-old and a little 9-month-old that only wanted to be held, entertained, and rocked to sleep. This time, every nap time included a session of walking up and down the hallway, gently rocking, along with a rhythmic patting of the behind, a well-padded behind, before gingerly lowering the little bundle into the cot, creeping out of the room. Routine and ritual were still our friend, with mealtimes, playtimes, shopping trips, nap times, all slowly resembling that familiar regularity we gained with Rose, which provided those little time-out opportunities for the now the bit more tired, grey-headed grandparents. The bond between Evie, Minima and Grandpa grew strong, enriching our lives. Once again, before we knew it, a year had passed and our daughter was home on maternity leave. Seems like a pattern, doesn't it? And we were once again reduced to just the two of us. Ah, again, their return to late night, sleeping in till eight. But if experience and Australian TV programming schedules teach us anything, a repeat is just around the corner. So here we are on the fourth lap. That's Maddie and Lily. The relationships between grandchildren and grandparent is a very special one, I think. Many of us will have very fond memories of our grandparents. They can be great teachers, confidants, and inspirations. When in my teens, I had the privilege of both grandmothers living with us for many years. It was a great time. I cherished it. And I well remember my mum caring for our grandmothers when their health declined. I had a particular close bond with my father's mother, Minima. She had a lovely, gentle servant nature, and when she died, I was devastated. I hadn't known such grief and loss before, and I sincerely pray I have as much influence on my grandchildren as she had on me. In Joshua 24, we read these words. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. Then in Judges we see this. The people served the Lord throughout the lifetime of Joshua and the elders who outlived him and all who had seen all the great things the Lord had done for Israel. But later in Judges we find out that after a whole generation had been gathered to their fathers, another generation grew up who knew neither the Lord nor what he had done for Israel. Look at that difference between the second and third generation. They did not know the Lord. Tragic, isn't it? The grandchildren of Joshua's day didn't even count themselves as believers. Not only did they not know the Lord, they didn't know what he had done for Israel. They didn't even know the stories. At times, I think I'd like a bit more time, more me time, but as I consider our grandchildren and how they look to us as example, the more I feel the Lord has given us a ministry to them. I need to make sure that they know the Lord and what he has done for us through the Lord Jesus Christ. This is why I encouraged our daughters in sending our grandchildren to parent-governed Christian schools like this one, so that what was taught in the home was emphasised and reflected in their schooling, because they spend a lot of time at school. So they may have a great and every opportunity to know the Lord. I earnestly pray that what the Apostle Paul wrote of Timothy will be true of our family as well. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you. Who knows if we will again hear that familiar refrain, "Hey, Dad, when I go back to work, could you mind..." In the meantime, I think I'll go for a relaxing drive in the MX-5. What do you think, Bill? Pretty good idea? And I'll reflect on the responsibilities as grandparents and the abundance of joy that God has given us in both our children and our grandchildren.